wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day this morning, and trust that we'll have a wonderful day, and a wonderful day in the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach, Lord, this time of the service, Lord, with all the reverence that we know how, Lord. Lord, respect, Lord, the desk which you've given us to stand behind, the calling that you've placed in our lives, dear God. And I ask, Lord, that you'll help me to yield to you, that the people may benefit from your word today. We ask, Lord, these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. And Lord willing, we'll bring a little teaching on Mother's Day here this morning. Matthew 15, verse 21. And Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In Mark, talking about the same story, Jesus says to the woman, For this saying, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Amen. You may be seated. What I want to look at today is selflessness. Selflessness. And first I want to look at the root of the word, selfish. What is selfish? Selfish is to concern excessively or exclusively to oneself. Seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, and well-being without regard for others. That's being selfish. I want what I want. I don't care about you or what you get or what you want, but I want what I want and I want to get what I want. That's selfish. To be selfless, it says, having, exhibiting, or motivated by no concern for oneself. So it's just the opposite. Motivated by no concern for oneself, but more concern for others. That's selfless. I look at this story of this woman that come to Jesus, and I think, What would we do? What would I do if it had been me? And Jesus would have said, It's not meat to give the children's bread to dogs. He called the lady a dog. She didn't care what he called her. She didn't care. She wasn't there to argue whether this was racist or not. She wasn't there to argue the anything of social status or we're equal or anything of that nature. She wasn't there for that. So her mind didn't even go to that. Her mind, you realize she was desperate. And she kept crying out, Oh Lord, have thou son of David. But see, she was a Gentile. She didn't have any claim on him as son of David. But when she called him Lord, now he was her Lord. And he answers to her. But it seemingly almost like an insult. But her mind, she was desperate. So what her mind went to was, somehow I have to get this man to deliver my daughter. She didn't care what it took. It was her desperate mind, her selflessness, that made her say, yeah, okay, I'm a dog. But even we get to eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. To go to that thought in her mind, it showed what a desperation she had come to. I think about Brother Brown telling a story about when he was down in Mexico preaching. And that there was a mother down there whose baby had died at 9 o'clock that morning. And she had him to the doctors and he was dead. And Brother Branham said they gathered in there early that morning. And he said she got there about 3 o'clock and waited till she could get the call to prayer line at 9 p.m. So he said there had been people waiting there, had been waiting since 9 that morning just to be there for the service. He said, and there wasn't no seats. They were in a big arena. He said he thought it was something that was used for ball games or something. And he said they had to take him up a ladder and let him down to get in there because it was so packed with people. And he said the people were leaning against each other. He said, where will those people be in the day of judgment that won't hardly darken the door of the church? When people will go and wait that long just to get a word from the Lord. The woman, she was desperate. Her baby was dead, but she couldn't speak English. But something, she knew that if she could get to that prophet, if she could just get to that prophet, everything would be all right. That's what she believed. And in her desperation, they said they had 25 men down there. Billy Paul come and told Brother Bram, said, we got 25 ushers down there, and they can't hold this woman. And said, that's what all the commotion is down there. Brother Bram said, she have a prayer card. Said, no, she don't have a prayer card. Said, but we can't hold her. Said, she's climbing over top of people's heads, trying to get up here. And Brother Branham looked at Brother Moore, and he said, you go down there and pray for her. And he said, then about that time, he saw a vision of a little Mexican baby alive and smiling. He said, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute, he said. They got her up there, and Brother Branham, I like this. Brother Branham said he laid hands on the baby. He says it just like this. He says, I just prayed a little prayer. He didn't get no long, drawn-out prayer and calling on God and all these things, and, you know, and write words that would move the people, the crowd, or whatever. He said, I just prayed a little prayer to the Lord, and the baby came to life. Just prayed a little prayer. That mother's faith, she was desperate. She had faith if she could get up there, her baby would be all right. It had died 9 o'clock that morning, and here she was 12 hours later, still holding that dead baby, wrapped up in that blanket. Brother Bram said it had been pouring the rain and the blanket was wet. She was desperate to get up there. She wasn't worried about, Brother Branham said, she wasn't worried about being dignified or what anybody thought about her. Said she was climbing over top of their heads trying to get up there to him. They couldn't hold her. She was desperate. And she wasn't thinking of herself. She was thinking of that baby. Brother Bram said she was about somewhere between 23 and 25 years old is what he thought she was. Said just in her early 20s, young mother. She wasn't thinking about herself or her own safety or anything. I mean, you think about the crowd that he described, how she had to push through that crowd. You know, you get in a crowd that size and you can easily get hurt if you fall down. She wasn't concerned with herself. She was concerned for that baby, her love for that baby. Think about the story in the Bible about Hannah. Hannah came before the Lord to pray. Brother Branham said the other women going to church were worried about what bonnet they were wearing or what dress this one or that one was wearing. So, but Hannah wasn't concerned with any of those things. She was concerned with one thing. That was getting to the Lord and him to remove her reproach. Brother Branham said, isn't that a difference from today? He said, today it's almost a reproach to have a child. Whereas back then to not have one was a reproach. And the Bible says that Hannah went up there and was praying, but her lips were moving, but no words could be heard. And she was in such a desperate way with it that when Eli saw her, Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said, how long will you be drunk and put your wine away from you? She said, my Lord, I'm not drunk. But I've come to petition the Lord for a son. And Hannah had prayed and said, and told the Lord if he would give her a son, that she would turn around and give him right back to the Lord all the days of his life, that he could serve God and God use him. She said, I'll dedicate him to you. I won't even cut his hair. A Nazarite vow. Eli said, go your way. You've got your petition. She goes and conceives and has this son. The time comes when her husband was going up to worship, and Hannah said, I'm not going up until the child's weaned. She goes, when I go up, I'm giving the child back to God. And so her husband said, do as you seem fit. And so when the child was weaned, Hannah came up and she brought an ephod of flour and she brought a sacrifice, bullock, I believe. And she came up before Eli and she said, my Lord, you remember me? I'm the one who was crying before you for a child. And she says, and I have this son now, and I want to give him to the Lord and to the Lord's service. The Bible says that from that day forth, Samuel dwelled in the house of the Lord with the priests. Brother Branham says in a message of desperations, oh Lord God, give me a son, give me a son. And notice, she wasn't selfish. When God heard her and answered her prayer and gave her a son, she gave him back to God. And because she was willing not to be selfish, after God answered her prayer, he gave her a prophet. Oh, that was an extra blessing. He's just full of them. Those little extra things that he gives. Those things that he gives. He gives you what you ask. There's times he gives you just a little extra on top of it. A blessing. Not only a son, but a prophet. There had been no open vision for many, many years in Israel. Samuel, the first prophet for many, many years. Because a mother got desperate. That she could have no children. She was past the age of bearing. probably 60, 70 years old. She prayed with desperation. She must have this child. What was it? God spoke to her, no doubt. Oh, church, rise and shake yourself. Pinch your conscience. Wake yourself up in this hour. We must be desperate or perish. There is coming forth something from the Lord. I know it as thus saith the Lord. There is coming forth something, and we better get desperate. It's between life and death. It'll pass through us, and we won't see it. Because she wasn't selfish, she was given a prophet. If you want something from God, if you'll come to him in desperation, God will answer your prayer. But if you come to him just nonchalant, well, you're probably not going to get anything. I think about that, I believe they called her the Shunammite woman, had to ask for a son. And the prophet prayed and God gave her a son. And her and her husband, they had servants. I don't know how well off they were, but they were well off enough to have servants. And I think how happy that father and mother must have been when God blessed them finally with a child. And the woman said, we're going to build a room onto our house. I want you to build a room that anytime the prophet comes by, he can stay there. He can pray in that room. He can sleep in that room. We'll take care of him here. So her husband had done that. One day the Bible says they were out in the field and working. And in the heat of the sun, it said the little boy grabbed his head and said, my father, my head, my head. And the father picks him up and gives him to a servant, says, take him to his mother. So the servant goes to take him to the mother. The mother's holding him, and surely everything's going to be all right. She prayed and asked God for the son. Surely everything's going to be all right. But while she's holding him, he dies. She takes the little fellow, carries him into that room that her husband had built for the prophet. Lays him on the bed. Then she tells a servant, saddle me a mount. Saddle me a donkey. I have to take a journey. And you know, riding on that little donkey couldn't have been very comfortable. And I don't know the miles she had to ride, but she had some distance to go to get to where Elisha was. And she was willing to go whatever distance it was, take whatever means she could to get there. She was desperate. She was desperate before the Lord. She was desperate to get to the prophet. She knew if she could get to the prophet, then all would be well. Matter of fact, that's what she said when she got there and Elisha sent the servant out to ask her, is all well with thee? She said, yes, all is well. It's all well with your husband? Yes, all is well. It's all well with the child? Yes, all is well. All was well because she was at the man of God. I think of that story when I think about Brother Branham getting ready to send Brother Moore down there to pray for that baby. That wouldn't have been good enough for that woman. She wouldn't have stopped. That's the way this Shunammite woman was. Elisha gave his servant the staff and said, take this and go lay it on the child. She says, oh, no, not so. No, I ain't making this trip for a staff. You've got to come. And so he takes the trip and journey back with her. I believe it was her desperation that got moved on the prophet. The Bible doesn't say it, but no doubt he saw a vision at some point or other. But he went with the woman. I don't know if he saw the vision before he left or after he got there, whatever. But I do believe he had the leading of God to do what he was doing. And they took the journey back. It doesn't say how long it took her to get there or how long it took them to get back. But it was a matter of time that went by. And however long it was, that boy's dead body was just laying there in that little room on that little bed. And they get back. Man of God goes into the room and shuts the door. I imagine at first the mother breathed a sigh of relief because she had got the man of God there and now he was in there with the boy. He was in there some time with the boy praying. Then the Bible tells us he got up and laid himself on top of the child. Eyes to eyes, nose to nose, mouth to mouth. His hands on the child's hands. During this time, I wonder about the mother and father sitting out there, still desperate. Wonder what's going on behind that door. They couldn't see what was happening. Many times when God's moving, you don't see it. But he's still moving on your behalf. They couldn't see what was going on, whether anything was happening or not. Perhaps maybe, what if somebody would have went over and, is everything all right in there? You ever been in a hospital with somebody? You don't know whether they're going to live or die. And you're praying in desperation. And the doctors and nurses come in and they usher you out of the room. So if they got room to move around and take care of the patient, you don't know what all's going on inside there. You don't know how God's going to move, what God's going to do. You know that feeling you feel during that time? And you're just holding on to any faith you can get a hold of. That's the way they were. That mother didn't care what she went through to get to that prophet, what she went through to get him back to that child. She wasn't concerned with herself. She wasn't concerned about her husband. She wasn't concerned about whether they got the crop in or not. She wasn't concerned about any of these things. She had one thing on her mind, and that was for her son. She didn't say, well, we'll wait till the day cools off and then I'll make the journey. No, she made the journey in the heat. Why? She wasn't thinking about herself. She was desperate. That's where we need to be, friends. I'll tell you what, we're living in a time when the world's only getting worse. And instead of us thinking about what we've got here or what we can get here or I want this or that, or I want to have my way or that way or whatever, we should be getting desperate thinking about this isn't permanent down here. We're, I believe we'll get to a place where we'll get desperate for the rapture. I believe that. I believe as time goes on, things begin to worsen. I'm not worried about North Korea. There was nothing ever prophesied about North Korea and the United States. The prophecy was about Russia. So don't worry about North Korea. Everything's going to work out with that. But I believe things will, as this world goes on, I believe it'll get where we'll get into desperate times wanting to get out of here. Remember that story Brother Ram tells about the deer, the mother deer? I believe the man's name was Bert. Said he was a mean sort of fella. He thought of himself. And he had this little gadget. Was a call of a fawn. And he was going to blow that on that. Brother Bram said, Mother Deer heard the cry of that fawn. She'd expose herself to any danger to try to find where that fawn was. He said something about him having lizard eyes or something like that. He said he blew on that little call, and a mother deer stepped out right out into the open. Brother Bram said he couldn't watch, turned his head. He said he couldn't watch. He said, I know he'd blow her heart clean out of her. And he waited to hear the shot. And he didn't hear it. He turned around and said that rifle was shaking. And then he just let it down. And then he told Brother Branham, I want to be led to that God you serve. Why? Because he saw the selflessness of that mother, the nature of a mother in nature itself, in the wildlife, saw a mother who wasn't thinking about herself, wasn't thinking about her own safety, was worried about that baby. And that moved so much on a man that Brother Branham said was really ornery and mean to where it broke him down. Broke through whatever that thick shell was that he was hiding behind. Tears came into those eyes and he wanted to accept the Lord. The Ram says, what makes a mother die for a baby? He says, it hasn't only been in this age, it's been in all ages. Just think, Job, the oldest book in the Bible, long fellowship. He knew there was a creator, and he believed him with all of his heart. And he said in a child way of saying it, oh, if I could only get to him, if I could only know where he lived at, I'd go up and knock on his door and talk to him just a little while. Wouldn't we all love to do that? But think, he's closer to you than his door. His door is your heart. He's so close tonight, he's closer to you than your right arm is. He's part of you. If you can only realize that, he's here, and how he wants to have fellowship with us. His heart is greater for fellowship than ours are. And the reason he makes us that way, because we're offspring of his. That's what makes us long for fellowship. We're offsprings of his. And that's what makes a mother would die for a baby. That's what makes a father would give his life for his wife. A husband, a true husband, would give his life for his wife. Why? Because Christ gave his life for the church, his wife. Listen to this. It's a strain in you. And it'd make a mother dash through a burning fire, not thinking of her own self and her hair on fire and her clothes on fire, to grab her baby and run out with it. Why? It's the love of a parent. And God is the first original parent. And that's where that strain comes from. Because the woman gave birth to the child, that's the reason God comes down, manifest in flesh, and went to the very flames, the hottest of suffering, that he might bring us into fellowship with him, taking no thought of his own. Not my will, but thine be done. See, he wasn't selfish. How that wonderful fellowship that we have with each other and with God. That day at Calvary, he said he was just one man, the perfect man. He gave his life and made an example for you. Now that, what must we do? Y'all want to come to the instruments? Nate, get ready while I finish with this quote. Now the first thing I want to say to you is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't got eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when he came in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others, and you receive eternal life by receiving that day, and you don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. Live for others. Unselfish. Selflessness. Not thinking of oneself, but thinking of others before. Amen. Lord, I ask this morning, Lord, that you'll bless the mothers with the extra special blessing, dear God. I pray, dear God, that may they have a wonderful day with their families. I pray, God, that you'll bless them. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.